Welcome to the Fit You Talk podcast.
You just found the number one health and fitness podcast for performers. Ooh. Congratulations. And you are currently listening to a guest episode during which we discuss the realities of a career in the performing arts with those who are fit to talk about them.
Yeah, and if you like what we do, please leave us a review. Or on Spotify, click that follow button.
Also, if you like our meaningful, helpful, and accurate information, then you may want to be coached by us, in which case Fit to Perform might be for you.
Yeah, you can find out more information over on our Instagram or on our website.
And you may notice today that this isn't our usual background. We have a shining white background today because in our lovely AV studio, they're putting up scaffolding outside, and that was problematic.
It was rather noisy.
So if you hear some background noise of drilling and scaffolding during the episode, we can only apologise. Consider it background noise, just like you might have in the theatre in the wings.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. He's not on board with that, but fine. Moving on, we have an incredible guest for you today.
Yes, we do. So today's guest is a fantastic talent with a fantastic voice. He was the alternate Jamie New in Everybody's Talking About Jamie back when it first came to the West End. He's also done a one-man show, Diva Live from Hell. He's been Mark in Rent. Did Hair at the Palladium. He's been in the 12 Tenors.
Yes.
Like you. He also was on X Factor when he was only 14, was it? 14,
yeah, I think. Well, he said it's when they, well, that's when they allowed people 14.
Oh, yeah, they allowed 14. So he could have been around that age. But yeah, he was on X Factor. He was streaming across the UK.
Yeah, up to judges' houses. And he's in every concert ever.
Yeah, he's everywhere. And he's doing some fantastic stuff over on TikTok as well.
Yes, yes. Super, super lovely guy and very, very glad he found the time to come in. Actually, yeah. It's been difficult for us to organise and well worth it. So please enjoy the lovely Luke Beyer. Can I just start this off by saying that I've made Luke the most miserable coffee a human being could make?
I mean, the fact that you were responsible for making coffee is scary.
Is it? I honestly, I'm not a coffee snob, so...
We were speaking about this in the kitchen, Luke and I, just a second ago, and we were saying that neither of us have any clue about coffee, so it's like, cool, coffee.
I make people a coffee and a tea and I give them it and then I run away. Cause I'm like, I honestly, I know you're going to say to me something's wrong. And I'm not here for it.
Yeah. I can't face the judgment. Yeah.
I'm not here for it.
I never said I could make coffee. Yeah, yeah. I don't make coffee. Enjoy it.
Should we just like continue this whole interview in an American accent?
Yeah, let's.
I'll let you do that.
Honestly.
Don't let me.
Honestly. My entire personality is like multiple personalities.
Fantastic.
So. See if we can delineate through this podcast.
Yeah, how many accents are we going to hear? That's the question.
Well. I was wondering, we do this thing on the podcast called Liar Liar.
Right.
Where we ask all our guests to see if they can slip in a lie at some point during the recording.
Oh, okay, fine.
And at the end, it will come through and we will attempt to guess what the lie was, mm-hmm. or if you have successfully lied.
Got it.
If that makes
oh,
sense.
Oh, I love games. I love playing games.
Oh, good. That bodes well.
Because there's a few.
Okay, I love games.
Because what would really suck would be an incredibly boring podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want that. No, please no.
If we can just speak in monotone the entire time.
Imagine.
Welcome.
I've had a really nice time.
That was too interesting.
You've had a really nice time.
Wow, what an interesting podcast.
This is fantastic.
Well, you know, we have had the odd guest.
We have.
Don't piss me off. Me and my housemate say that all the time. We're like, don't piss me off.
Don't piss me off.
But like with a smile, it's not like loaded. It's just like, don't piss me off. Yeah.
Well, at the end of the episode, we'll guess that. Are you up for that? Are you up for trying to fit the line?
I'm down for all the games.
Fantastic.
I might even play some and then you'll have to figure out playing a game. Do you know what I mean?
I do feel like Luke's going to lie. I actually, I never have confidence that anybody's going to lie.
That is true.
But I feel like you're going to do this and I think you're going to do it well.
Thank you.
Well, he set you up now.
No pressure.
Thank you so much.
Expectation. Obviously, people listening, we hope do that. If this looks different, if you're watching it or sounds different, it's because...
It is different.
We had
it feels different.
An absolute calamity, didn't we? Like, Luke arrived bang on time.
Shock.
Nailed it.
There can be miracles when you believe.
And it turned out that around our office in Leicester Square, they are putting up scaffolding. And it was incredibly noisy, and even the sound-dampened AV studio was entirely unusable.
Yes.
And this started happening.
A jackhammer in there.
It started happening about 5 minutes before you arrived.
Iconic.
So we shifted the entire thing to an entirely different room, which is not built for this.
It's a touch echoey for my taste.
It has got a little bit of spiky on the wall.
There's one bit of torn
slightly
apart
broken.
Yes, it's like somebody thought, oh, what would happen if I did put some sound dampening stuff on the wall?
Yeah.
And it happened.
I think it's working.
So ignoring that, working. And if it sounds weird, sorry. Hit us, Luke. How does the story of your life begin?
Oh God, the story of my life.
You can sing it if you want.
Story of my life. So I grew up in the north. I actually feel quite old now, like when I teach. And I feel like there's a slight level of Delulu from me in that I still believe I am very young and like could play 18. And then I see 18-year-olds and I think, it's quite nasty, actually, that I actually can't. And I am deluded and I can't play 18 because you are actually 18 and you look 12. And yeah, I think when I looked 18, I looked 12. And now that I'm 31, I still look like, people pass me off as like 24, but I need to own it and stop being Delulu. But I grew up in the north when I... my dad was born in Africa, in Kenya, and my mum and dad met in Africa. They actually met, my mum was already married, she went out to Africa with her husband and then came back with a different one.
What?
She'll hate that. If my mum listens, she won't. She doesn't know how to use technology. But I remember when I was a child in the loft and I was like, oh, there's a wedding dress. And I was like, who's this wedding dress? And my mum was like, oh, because my mum got married in like a suit to my dad. She was like, my mine. And I was like, I didn't see any pictures of you in a wedding dress, and then it turned out she got married before.
Whoa.
Ooh. Anyway, how about that for a podcast?
Straight in. Yeah. Boom.
Boom.
I love that. That's quite refreshing to hear, actually. You're like, it's like, are they still together?
Yeah. They're still together now.
Like sometimes people, you know, change paths and that's the right path for them.
Yeah. And I asked my dad about it and he said, well, I was just so fit. Okay. Fair enough, Charles.
So, all right. You're like, well, that is a superpower.
Do you know what, Charles? Live your life. Yeah. You did live your life, sir.
Fit Charles.
Fit Charles.
Well, yeah. Remember that? There was a TV show, wasn't it? Charles in Charge?
Yes. Yeah, an American TV show.
A banging theme tune, if you don't know.
Charles in Charge. Yeah, that one.
On Fire Days. You should sing this, by the way, Luke.
Okay.
Because it's really short.
Okay. Cracking.
Maybe later on we'll film it.
I'll check it out. Fine, okay.
It's a strong 16 bars. Take it in.
It is. It's only like 30 seconds long. But
I'm down.
This is so good. So sorry. We interrupted.
No, all good. So I grew up in the north. I don't know. What do you want to know?
Well, first of all, only people from the north say I grew up in the north. As like...
Specific. You want specifics.
Like, that's just its own reach. But no one knows what the North is. Some people think that England is split like down the middle with North and South, and other people believe the Midlands exist.
Right.
So where is that for you?
So it's like near Skipton, North Yorkshire.
Okay, cool.
Skipton Castle.
Yes. Yeah.
Gateway to the Dales.
Gateway to
the Dales. Calendar Girls are from my village, the OG Calendar Girls.
Is that the like village's claim to fame?
Not all of them are from
and
there,
you,
but we did have the calendar. We have got one of the original calendars, just saying.
Have you?
Ching, ching, ching. Yeah. So, so
that was Charles. He bought that.
He bought the calendar. Probably. Charles bought the calendar.
Yeah. So I grew up there and then just lived my life. But I feel like as a child, I was quite like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And my parents are like very supportive, but not pushy parents at all. With love and respect, I've taught some kids and their parents are pushy. Yeah. And I go, you need to sit back and let your kid do their thing. Like you cannot push your child into something because they will resent you for doing that. I honestly believe that. And my mum and dad were very supportive. And I was like, I'm going to sign up for this. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to go for X Factor. And my mum and dad were like, oh. And they always came with me and were very supportive. But I was always applying for all sorts of different things. And my sister sings as well. She is actually much better than me. And she was always better and she used to go to actual singing lessons and I'd just scream around the house and when she'd sing, my mum would be like, oh, Cara, she's amazing. And when I'd sing, they'd be like, Luke, shut up.
You're ruining Cara's song.
Honestly this. So I grew up with I've got two older sisters. My older sister's got learning difficulties and she went to a special school, which was amazing. She's brilliant. Very, very funny. She's my eldest sister. She's 9 years older than me. And then my other sister is 6 years older than me. And we grew up doing different shows and bits and pieces. I think my first like musical was maybe like Bugsy Malone when I was like 8.
Classic.
And I was Babyface. And I remember getting a line and being like, nailed it. In Skipton Town Hall, which felt huge. Mm. You know, when you're a child and all those venues just seem massive. Yeah. And I was like, I'm a star. I've absolutely made it.
Fully. I never did Bugsy Malone. I feel like I missed that. Did you not either?
No.
I feel like that's strange, right? I feel like most kids of like that age, maybe, you know, 8 to sort of 12, will do like Bugsy Malone at some point if they're interested in it.
Yeah, it was the go-to.
I think I did it two or three times. And every time, sorry about it. But I auditioned for Fizzy. Do you know, tomorrow never comes.
I'll level with you. I don't know at all.
He was the cleaner and he sung this beautiful song. I auditioned for that every time and I never got it. So I am kind of bitter, but okay. I'm happy to put on a production now if you want, and you can both be in it.
We'll be in it.
I'm sold.
I'll be on ensemble number four. Ensemble number four.
I'll be off stage swing.
Yeah. They've got the splurge guns. It's so badass. Yeah.
Oh, see, I was always jealous of that. Yeah, that's what I always wanted to do.
I just wanted to play with toy too guns. Young. Well, this is
too young to play with it.
That's what I mean.
You're like eight.
Literally.
But you just mentioned that was when you were eight, but it still stays with you. I definitely have that from things when I was in primary school. Like I auditioned, even the nativity, whatever it was, which I don't think they do anymore. Like I wanted to be Joseph.
Yeah.
Desperately when I was 10. I was like, this is my crowning achievement now. This is going to be it. Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, this guy's Joseph. You're going to be Santa. Yeah, we'd already got to the point where we had Santa in the nativity.
You're going to be Santa?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not quite as old as Bobby, so...
Oh, you need to calm down.
I was just on the new wave of having some weird weird stuff happen in the nativity. So I got to be Santa instead, and I was like, never got over it.
I'm so sorry.
Did that happen to you, Bobby? Do you?
I was an orange in the nativity. A legit orange.
Wait, and you thought Santa was weird?
Yeah, I was an orange. I don't know why there was an orange in this nativity, but that's what I was.
Maybe we were an extra gift.
I think you'd be a lovely orange.
Thank you. I was.
What did you sing as an orange? Or how did you move and what?
It was very bumbly as a movement. There was no singing. Okay. It was a mute character.
Aha.
Right. But I was just eye candy. I was the set dressing.
Back yourself.
Yeah. I was a cute kid, man. As an orange, even cuter.
I mean, we'll take that.
So, I had nothing to say to that. Other than
Just
the truth. Just staying facts.
We've had Fit Charles and now Fit Orange. Yeah,
sexy Orange.
Bobby Orange.
Bobby Orange.
There we go. Yeah, yeah.
All day.
Change that.
Is there anything else other than that? Obviously, before professional life, because that is a never-ending list of jobs that we never got. But
I remember, this is I don't know if this is relevant, but I'm going to say it anyway. I remember I went to ballet classes when I was about 10. I went to a dance school in 15 minutes away from my house and there was no boys. It was all girls. And I went to this dance school and I started tap classes, ballet, jazz. I was bloody awful. I always liked singing and the dancing. I was always a bit but I feel if you'd started it younger, if I'd started it younger, I could have probably been quite good. I can dance now and I can hold my own, but it's not my jam. It's hit and miss. Sometimes I'll go to a dance school and I'm nailed it. And then the next time I'm come pick up a single step. I remember going to that and one of the girls, our parents used to alternate lifts to this ballet school and one of the girl's brothers used to come and he was vile. Can't stand the boy. He's called Tom. Hated him. And he used to sit at the front when I was doing the ballet stuff and he'd look like this at me, if you can see this on camera. He'd go, ballet boy, under his breath. And I literally stayed for about a month and then I quit because of Tom.
Wow.
Oh, man. So, Tom.
And was it vaguely threatening? Because obviously that's just not nice.
It was just really nasty. He was so nasty. And he used to come to the classes. And I don't think I ever told anyone when I was little. But I just remember seeing him and I'd be so paranoid in this class. Obviously, and I was rubbish at it as well, which didn't help. I was and this boy's glaring at me and cursing me. Literally this under his eyes.
It's such a weird experience. That's weird in itself.
Yeah.
But in school, the opinion of other boys about dance.
Especially at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at that time.
Yeah, because you're a little bit younger than me.
Yeah, there was...
I kept it secret. I literally didn't tell anyone.
I remember being in year eight and I dated this girl called Jenna. I'm not gonna say her surname for privacy reasons. But I was in year eight and I thought, I'm madly in love with Jenna. And she called me one summer day and it was summer holidays and she called me and said, hey Luke, so actually I found something out about you and I'm gonna have to dump you. And I was like, oh my God, she knows. she said, you did ballet. I can't go out with you anymore. And she dumped me because I did ballet.
That's brutal.
I remember being that's fine that you dumped me, but please don't tell anyone. And to be fair to her, she didn't. She didn't. But I remember being my reputation would be ruined. But then we get to year 11, 12. And then I was very lucky at school. I had a great time and I was friends with a lot of people. But a lot of the football boys and the sports boys then started doing the school shows and things like that. And I remember that kind of transition of being okay. interesting that you now want to kind of get in on this. But that was kind of like when Glee was a thing and it was all starting to become a little bit more popular. Yeah. And then, I don't know, it kind of shifted and changed in that.
It's weird, isn't it? Because we had, I'm well sure it was rugby boys usually, and I was on that team, but... you know, it was similar. I was hiding the fact that I was going to evening dance classes all over the place and doing all this stuff. And then when the school musical came around, you know, they're like, because of like male voice choirs, like they were always being like conscripted from the rugby team. It was like non-optional.
Right.
The rugby team then had to do like the choir singing and stuff. So when the musicals came about, they were all kind of there, but it was almost like they weren't really part of that world. So they still didn't like... Mm. They didn't like, weirdly, the dance element. They were fine with like acting or singing, but it was the dancing that they were like, And you're like, I wonder why.
I think it's the association with tights.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think that plays quite a big part in it. Like, the idea of somebody just like being out there wearing tights, I think, honestly, I do think that is.
I think, especially in that time, maybe. Yeah.
I look fantastic in tights.
Yeah, I looked great.
Fit orange
tights.
But I'd never thought of that as a thing.
I do think that's part of it. At least it was part of it back then. Like when, certainly when I was growing up,
I think that was an element.
I thought it would be like part of the, or could be like just the fact that usually like expression is quite difficult for boys at that age.
Mm. Yeah.
And being able to move your body in that way is a form of freedom and expression. Mm. And I think it's like, no, you shouldn't be able to move.
What is this movement?
Yeah, and it was this was the movement, which on an audio-based podcast,
that's beautiful.
You wouldn't realize what I just did.
Lovely. I could tell you when to dance.
This voice. So who is this character? Because it's on social media.
Oh God. It's honestly just, I thought it was so nice. I loved it. I honestly don't know. I just love doing stupid stuff. I just think we just need to all laugh more. It's not that deep. To me, most things I'm like, it's not that deep. And friends say to me, so what is deep? And I'm like, I don't know at this point. But like, I just think it's
become something.
Do you know what I mean? It's just silly. Yeah. I don't know if it kind of stemmed a little bit off of Diva, the one man show I did. Because that was all based on like different characters and like, Ali Hewitt's like this and she's got lisp and she's got pretty notes. like we're going specific, like she's got vocal demarche.
Demarche.
But it kind of stemmed a little bit from that and then some of my friends and I don't know, just kind of being silly. I think
if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Luke's Instagram videos, immediately pause the podcast.
I'm screaming.
Go across and have a little watch of these because they're so funny.
Oh, thank you.
I love them. And actually on social media, we were jumping ahead in your life from I was in the north to right now.
I'm 100% stunning. Everyone knowed it. You know it. Everyone on the podcast is 100% saying you're stunning. Everyone knowed it. So stupid.
But
I love it.
But lovely in that sense, exactly as you said, it brings joy and a
bit. Do you know what I mean? It's not that deep. With love and respect, it's not that deep.
It's just not that deep.
But you are now, how does it work? The stuff with Stage Door London.
Oh yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
So I got asked about doing these interviews for Stage Door and I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. I love just chatting to people. It's just silly. And I just got asked to do it. And then we did some and then they've kind of blown up a little bit and we're going to kind of see where it goes and see if we can do a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's just cool. And it's just interesting to speak to people because I think as people, I definitely have in the past and I try not to now kind of assume things about people. And I actually take what they give me rather than what I would go, oh, they will be like this because they look like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure we all do that. We do it as like a defense mechanism of going back to when we were younger, being at school and being like, oh, okay, so if I was at school, if school mentality, that person would have been in this group and they would have been like this. And that's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
And I try not to do that. And I feel like, not that I think that when I do the Stage Door things, but a lot of the people that I do Stage Door with at the minute are like friends of mine that I say, oh, would you like to come on this podcast? Not podcast, on this TikTok, on these videos we're doing. And we just like have a little catch up, meet you outside the theater. Have a little chat because everyone's like journey and trajectory is different, and I just think it's just interesting. It's very fun. Interesting.
Why do you think it's blown up the way it has?
I don't know. I think because it's chill.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's chill. I feel like it doesn't need to be formal. It's very much like having banter with people and having a bit of a joke. And I don't necessarily think we always get to see that side of people because everything has to be really professional.
Yeah.
And I think that it keeps people real and relatable, which is what people like. That's what I like when I watch things and I watch social media, I listen to podcasts and watch things. And I think I like the people that are just a bit daft.
yeah, and willing to say their opinion. That's what I personally like about them, is that it doesn't feel manufactured.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that we were desperately trying to avoid. And how do we get people to actually just be themselves and be open and honest, rather than feel like you're on some kind of PR tour for your show?
Yeah.
I think it can quite often feel like you're doing like a football interview, like post-match interview. Footballers always give the same answers because they're trained to build
and do it that same way.
They're just saying generic things. It's generic sentences. So you're like, actually, when you can actually get to know people or like get a little piece of people that you don't always see, I think that's so nice.
I love, if I mention a specific question you ask, I imagine you'd be able to guess that it's the one where you say, what's the most overrated show?
Oh yeah, everyone literally loses it. They're like...
Because that is like a direct question to go, this is something you would not normally say.
Mm-hmm.
To the world.
Yeah, you'd say it to your close friends.
Yeah.
Oh, all the time. All the time. But because you're so worried about like, oh, if in the future I might be right for that show, and what if I end up auditioning for it and the casting director has seen this, or the producer's seen it, and they go, not them, they said my show was overrated. And then you're like, the worries, I think, come into it. It's really refreshing to have people just go, yeah, it's this one. Like, I didn't like it.
Yeah. It's all subjective. Like,
exactly.
We don't love everything, and you could still appreciate it and say, I think the people in it are brilliant.
Mm.
And I can respect that, but that piece of work is just not for me.
Yeah. And you can, that's exactly it too, that you're like, I really love this question, because there's so many variables to why you like or don't like something based on personal experience, tastes, like, and also the production that you saw when you were 10, when you saw it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I didn't enjoy that production. Like, I've seen countless productions of Cabaret and hated it, and then saw the one in the West End now at the Kit Kat Club and was like, I've entirely changed my opinion. If you'd asked me that question 5 years ago, I would have said Cabaret.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh no, that is an unbelievable piece of work.
Yeah.
Like, the script, everything about it. And I'd obviously just not seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm monologuing about Cabaret now, but so I wanted to ask you, because you never get asked this, what do you think is the most overrated show?
Let's blow my nose first.
Yeah. We're keeping this in.
Whilst I have a thing.
He's got to think of something that's not on right now.
Well played. That would be well played.
Bobby, you know I'm coming to
most
you for
yours. Most overrated after. Show. I don't know. I've never even actually thought about it, because it's not been me that's had to answer it through a line.
hit us. Most overrated show.
I'm going to say Les Mis. Sorry. As a child, I used to love it. I love certain bits of it. I love I Dreamed a Dream. I love Eponine. All the students' bits. Send me to sleep. I'm sorry. Cut.
Yeah.
Miss Saigon, far better.
I love Miss Saigon.
I prefer the music. I like Les Mis. I feel like I've seen it too many times, and I've seen too many friends in it. With love and respect, I cannot watch it again.
It's over and over again, isn't it? It's not that the show... This is the interesting thing about the question that you ask, I think, is that, like, you can say the show's great, but overrated doesn't mean the show isn't fantastic. It's that, at this point you go...
For right now, I go, I don't need that.
Well, also, like, in modern musicals tend to be shorter.
Yeah.
In general. You know,
very long.
Over 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I'm going, you better be earning every minute of this.
Yeah.
You know, and Les Mis is...
And don't get me wrong, I used to rinse that, the 10th anniversary DVD when I was a child. I loved Les Mis, and I used to love, like, watching Ruthie Henschel, and, she's iconic.
Cheers.
But, like, those kind of performances, and I've watched multiple people do it, and it's brilliant, but I'm going to say that for today.
Nice.
Just because of the students' bits, boring.
Fair.
So... In that case,
drink with me. I'd rather not, darling. I want to go home.
I want to, but they wouldn't let me bring the cup into the auditorium.
There's.
Like, Jesus.
Plastic cups only.
Plastic cups only. Yeah, you're telling me. So, what's your favorite musical then? We don't normally ask these types of questions.
Ooh,
that led to this.
Yeah.
Tough. I love real life things. So, I love like Parade. I know that's just kind of had a whole new resurgence, but I just find it fascinating. And for me, I'm such like a. And he's like, a freak, which I kind of am, I guess. But like, and then I'll go home and I'm like, all night, like Googling all the information, and I need to know all the information. But obviously we can only know so much information because they don't actually know if you did it or not.
No, that's the thing.
And then I lose sleep over it. So that's that.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, Parade is fantastic.
That was such a devastating musical when you watch it, because you want to know.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want some sort of closure on it, but there is no closure.
Yeah.
You're like, that's... The thing is, if you watch like a murder mystery TV show or something and they go, don't know, end, you're like...
I watched Expats the other day.
What is it?
On Amazon Prime.
Right.
With Nicole Kidman. And it gets to the end and it's like, I was like, what the penultimate episode was 1 hour and 40 minutes long.
Jesus.
It delved into all these random characters who then we didn't even see again. And I was like, I don't care. With love and respect, I didn't need to see her house falling apart. I didn't need to see that.
Well, there was that one on Netflix as well that had Jennifer Coolidge in it, like a year or two ago.
Not White Lotus.
Like, White Lotus.
Yes. Yeah, that. And it didn't have any... Was it White Lotus? It was about their house. No, because she wasn't the main character. She was a real estate agent.
Oh.
It's a different show.
Oh, I've watched whatever you're talking about.
You did.
I cannot remember what it is.
No, but they moved into this house and then like some weird shit started happening.
Yes.
Everyone watched it.
And then
at the end they never find out who it was.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Like everyone watched it. Oh my God, yeah. But it was so infuriating that it ended and you were like, what was the point of that?
No answers.
And also what annoys me with those programs is they keep introducing different characters and there's like a character like, I'm thinking of something specific here, Shady. He's like strapping things to this girl's car wheel. And then at the end, he's like, oh, so we never saw him again. Did he have anything to do with it?
Yeah.
She admitted to doing it. Why is he strapping things to her wheels?
I know
wheels?
Exactly which Netflix show you're
Why
on
are
about.
You doing that?
And it had, what's the name of the actress who was in Coronation Street?
Oh, Michelle Keegan.
Yeah, there was that random scene with the army man strapping things to her wheels.
Yeah,
and then it gets to the end.
Her.
My housemate said to me yesterday, she was like, I was losing sleep over that like a couple of nights ago. So I was like, why was he doing that? Because he didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, and there was it was a Harlan Coben show, wasn't it? One of
those.
And it had too many red herrings, but the red herrings didn't make sense. Like if you actually went, oh, that was a red herring, that's fine. But if you go, no, but why did that character do that thing?
The bit with the son. They're like, oh, she's got another son. And then it gets to the end and it's like, there's no relevance to it, but we just thought we'd tell you.
Yeah.
Just an extra bit of information.
It doesn't matter. And then, great. I enjoyed the journey.
I really enjoyed it. And there was loads of great people in that.
And great performances.
Yeah, actually. Really great performances. But there was just little things like that. And I think,
Yeah, I agree. Well, very, very frustrating. So,
sorry.
Never apologize. The purpose of this podcast is basically tangents.
Love a tangent.
There's no structure.
Love a tangent.
Who needs structure?
So, you grew up in the north, and we've discussed that sort of ballet dance stuff. But how did you get from there to going, right, I want to do this? You mentioned going, Mum, Dad, I'm going to apply for the X Factor. Was that like the first thing?
No, so I auditioned for, BBC did like an opera, I think, when I was about 12, called The Little Prince.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, we want 35 youngsters that sing opera. I don't sing opera. this kid, I could sing high, but not opera. So anyway, I was like, Mum, I'm going to audition for this. So anyway, we went to I think it was at Cheetham's, the music school in Manchester. My mum took me to Manchester, bless her, and she sat there going, oh, I don't know what's going on. And I auditioned. I got right to the end. I came down to London. We were on Sadler's Wells on the stage. And they said, what was the song? Satisfied, da, 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 da. I can't remember. Anyway, but we had to run around on the stage and pretend to be birds, singing. And I just remember thinking, this is not for me. Yeah. I'm too cool for this. And everyone was running around da, 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 da. And I was like, and then I think it was 40 of us and they cut it to 35 and then I got cut.
And on the side, you were there like, opera boy.
Yeah, I was
opera boy.
Was it for me anyway?
Yeah. What was his name? Tom.
Tom.
No, Tom.
Opera boy.
Yeah, Tom. Oof.
Tom.
I wish him well, but he's not for me. and then the following year, or maybe the year afterwards, they lowered the age on X Factor to 14. And that was in 2007. Oof. And I remember applying and being like, I'm going to go for this. And my mum was like, oh, okay, we'll see how we go. And then on the day of the audition, I remember waking up, going into my dad's room, you ready? And they were like, oh, do you actually want to go? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. And I went and I did maybe a couple of rounds. But because I was under 16, they had to kind of put you through quicker because of licensing and bits like that. So I still did maybe two or three rounds and then I met the judges and then it all kind of went from there. But as soon as I cried, I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
My mum was like, aha, here we go. Once all the camera crew came out, Sharon Osbourne was there, it all then became very real. And I think even that reality television has changed since then so much. That was pre One Direction, and Leona Lewis had won the year before. I don't know, I just think it they could get away with so much more then. I watched what was that program? I watched the Bling Ring documentary. Have you seen about the teenagers that stole all the hats and jewelry from the celebrities?
Not.
brilliant on Netflix. And there's two of them that did it on the documentary. And the TV producers on it are like, I'm one of the TV producers. I'm here to ruin people's lives. And she literally says that. And then they're like,
wow.
But like, they literally could do that in that time. Yeah. They were like, oh, brilliant. We've got a little boy over there who's crying. This is so... God, I'm going to get cancelled.
Great, yeah. No, well, I think you're saying things that everybody knows.
But if you read the book Chartthrob by Ben Elton, it speaks about, like, they're making, like, a cast of all these different people. There's, like, someone that got the application sent in for them, someone that, I don't know, there's so many different situations.
Yeah. They're looking for stories to fill many different stories.
Of course.
Everybody knows that's what X Factor
is,
so right?
It's so formulaic.
It was an entertainment show. It was an entertainment show.
It's not a talent show. That's what was, yeah.
But I remember doing that and going into it with so much confidence and gradually just getting less confident as it went on. And my voice was breaking. They struggled to kind of find songs that kind of fit in with where my voice was. So much happens behind the scenes, but then you're also then battling like the people online. And actually, to be fair, social media wasn't really a thing then. So there wasn't a whole load of people going, whatever people say, because people are vile online.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole load of that. But I remember going on after my first audition, I think it was like a YouTube video, and someone had commented being like, obviously people were like, oh, he's so annoying, can't stand him, stuff like that, classic, fine. But then some people were like, someone had said that I look like a young Frankenstein. Someone had said that I look like Laurel and Hardy, the tall, skinny one.
Yeah.
Someone said that I look like him. I don't know. There's loads of random stuff. But then obviously you go through the process and you get, especially at that time, like it was such a huge thing. I remember them calling me saying, oh, your audition's going to be shown on Saturday. And I think there was like 15.6 million people watched it.
Jesus.
So then as soon as you go out after that, everyone used to sit on a Saturday night and watch it.
Yeah.
So I'd go into Leeds and I'd like signings in Leeds and like stuff, which is wild. But then you come off that program and then there's stuff happening for a little while, but obviously then I'm back at school and
yeah.
But it is interesting because then there's people that I made friends with from X Factor that I'm still really good friends with now, like Dom Hartley Harris, who is in like Hamilton now. I did Rent with him. I've done a couple of different work things with him, and I'm like, it's just so funny how we've come full circle. Yeah. We were at judges' houses together. He was 15, I was 14. Both our mums were there. I feel like there's always good things to learn from these experiences.
Yeah.
That feels like a whole lifetime ago.
And you were on it at like its
peak.
Yeah, that was peak X Factor.
2007.
Yeah.
It was before like Alexandra Burke was the year after.
Right.
One Direction, Little Mix obviously happened.
Wow. Yeah. Pre all of that stuff. So, you know, at that point you said that like, confidence, that feeling that you were like, I'm going to do this. When it didn't go your way, what was that like?
Now it's so funny because, you know, when you say everything happens for a reason, I look back now and I go, thank God I did not go to those live. I wasn't ready. There was just no way. I would have like absolutely crumbled. TV gold, because I'd have probably cried on the live shows. But my voice was all over the shop. I was way too young. Like I just wasn't there. I couldn't have done it. So it definitely all happens for a reason. But I remember at the time being like, oh my God, my life is over. But they kind of make you feel like that.
Yeah.
Wow. Like everything's so built up behind the scenes. So then they go, camera's rolling. And then you're like, you're already on edge. And then you get the bad news. And then you're just like, and it's a lot. It's a lot. But then obviously everyone has an opinion on that when they see you in person. They go, oh my God, you cried so much. And I'm like, have you done it?
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Yeah. Do you know?
When you do it, darling, come back to me. We'll discuss it.
Also, like, you cried so much. Yes, I had an emotional response. Yeah. Because I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you?
But also, unless you've been there and you've done that, people don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Like that's what they wanted my character to be, you know?
Also, you go, even if you took it out of the TV context and you go, hey, I'm auditioning for this £1 million contract with the biggest producer in the world, which that was the thing at the time, right? You're like recording a deal, artist, you're going to be going for Christmas number one. And I went through however many rounds and rounds and rounds and rounds and rounds and rounds. You're so invested. Like anyone who's in music theater or even plays and stuff like knows by that point, you're going, how am I going to spend the money?
Yep.
Where should we go on holiday?
Yeah, you picture yourself.
So that
as a child, I was like, I'm going to be a huge star. I with my full chest believed that. I was like, I'm going to be huge. Hilarious. And and when I was doing X Factor, I thought, this is it. I knew this would happen for me. I genuinely, as a child, believed that was it. And I was going to
wow.
So funny. It's like laughable, but I genuinely was like, yep, this makes sense.
I don't know if it is laughable. I think in one sense it's admirable. Do you mean that you're like,
I was so ballsy as a child. Yeah. Just so ballsy. We have this thing as a child where you're just like, I would worry as to whether children have that same level now because of social media. We're exposed to so much stuff way younger, which actually isn't good. Like social media, TikTok, all this stuff. Kids are watching it at 6, 7 years old, and then it can make people really insecure. And
yeah.
I don't know. Whereas I didn't have that. I just loved singing. I love posting videos on YouTube. And like, I look back at some of those videos now and I actually deleted my YouTube. I had a YouTube at one point. It had so many hits on it. I had like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hits. And I remember someone one day posted something horrible and I just deleted the whole account. I was like, I'm done. Delete the whole thing.
It's not worth it. There's that weird like thing. Like you said, you can't fail. So you can't do anything stupid or be like, you know, if you're out on a night out, when we were in college, you know, when we were in, do you remember, in Edinburgh Fringe,
yeah,
that's where we first met, I think. You know, if somebody had filmed that night, that would still be being played now.
Yeah.
Like going, look at Luke here, or look at Stefan here. And like, fuck, nobody filmed that.
Yeah.
Like that stuff. Whereas nowadays you go, oh, if you're going on a night out, you're like, oh, I'm not going to dance in case somebody films it and I look stupid.
Yeah.
And like, well, what about the joy of looking stupid for a day? Yeah. Like, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like we have none of that stuff available to us because someone you don't know and don't care about could comment and say, you look like Laurel and Hardy or fuck off.
But it's so funny that you remember all of those moments. I remember all those key moments.
Mm.
And I remember like the nasty things people said to me afterwards. Yeah. There was obviously hundreds and hundreds of lovely things.
Yeah.
But then you always go, oh God, that. And as I've got older, I've tried to go, I just need to let that go. I don't care.
Yeah.
With love and respect, I don't know you. Have your opinion.
Mm. Yeah. It's tricky though, because it's a survival mechanism, right? The things that hurt us were designed to remember in order to avoid them in the future. Mm-hmm. So it is literally there in your brain that it's going to repeat that back to you. It's the reason they become bigger traumas, right? That you have this thing that now becomes like a trigger for you that you go, oh, what if you started a YouTube again? That might turn into a little fear in that instance that somebody's going to, not that person, but that event that hurt you might happen again. So I don't think people, well, obviously people don't realize, or that's their intention.
Yeah. And that's on them, I'm afraid. You can't control someone else's energy.
No.
You can only control your own. And sometimes I feel like that's such a learning curve for me. And I go, sometimes I see people and I go, hey, how are you? And they go, yeah, I'm good. And I want to go, oh, I'm good too, thanks.
Yeah.
And I go, the fact you've not asked me, that's not on me.
Yeah.
I've come in here with good energy. If you're not going to give me that back, I just go, okay.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Lovely.
And people are always going to...
Way more peaceful.
Yeah. That is it. Though. People are always going to...
But people still do comment, like my YouTube. Someone, I recorded a cover years ago of, do you know Yebba? My mind. Love her. Recorded a cover of that years ago. I was really proud of it. Put it together, put it on my YouTube. Loads of lovely comments. Someone commented and they put, if Yebba is a diamond, you're not even a pebble. Or something. It was so stupid, but I actually loved that, and it just made me laugh. And I was like, "Cool,
fine."
You know, cool, fine,
fine. It's a diamond. You're not even a pebble.
Okay. It was something like that, and I thought, fair play.
Yeah, you know, it's at least creative. It's like those when they see that thing on, was it Jimmy Kimmel, where they make celebrities read mean tweets? Yeah.
Iconic.
You
know,
that's fantastic. At least it can be creative. Then you can find some humor in it yourself. But when it's just like. There's a specific level of just mean.
Yeah. Like, it's when it's like user 10296477. Yeah. And you're like, cool.
You're like, is that a random person? Or is that someone I know who's created a fake account in order to post this?
And if it is, get a live.
Yeah, is that somebody's burner account?
And it's normally
I always think
that,
who's got it? A burner account.
So
it's my mum.
quit while you're ahead.
You were shit when you were singing around the house and you're shit now.
Yeah, literally.
Hold on.
No, I said to my mum a few weeks ago, I was like, God, this industry's so hard, man. She was like, well, I did say it was cutthroat. And I was like, Mum.
How's that helpful?
I was like, right.
You could have been a dermatologist.
Right. I was like, cool.
That's a niche choice as well.
I love skin. So to be fair, a dermatologist or a dentist is what I would have done.
There's still time.
Well, I did say it was hard. Helpful.
My
thanks a lot, Linda.
It's like all that achieves is you. What you're saying is, I was right.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
But also, you're like, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. I've not done too bad, mum, but cool.
It's really hard, but I'm doing okay. So like post X Factor, what made you go, right, I want to do musical theatre?
Well, I always did musical, so I kind of came from that world. And then I did the school shows and all that kind of stuff. Loved it, lived the life. and then I think I auditioned when I was in sixth form, and I actually remember I auditioned at like GSA, Mountview, Arts Ed, Lane, Central. I did a good little tour, and I got recalled at a few, didn't get in. I got in at Lane, but I honestly, my body was broken from a day of dancing. And I was like, I honestly would just pass away after a week. Respect, because it was so hard. And I just remember being like, ah, so I didn't accept that place. And I was like, I'm going to wait it out. And I want to go to Mountview, GSR, Arts Ed. And then I went into the sixth form office, and there was a woman in there. I can't remember her name. She had short hair. And she went, and she said something similar to me. I was like, oh, I actually didn't get in. And she was like, oh, what are you going to do instead? Like that to me. And I thought, I'm fine, hon. I said, I'll get there. I'll do it. I said, but it's just obviously just not going to happen right now. And then I did a foundation course, which was like really intense dance for a year in Leeds. And then auditioned again, and then got in that the end of that year. And then had a gap year, and then went to Mountview.
Okay.
So I didn't go till I was 20.
And you can go back to that woman.
Yeah.
Careers officer. Just be like, screw you. Yeah,
what are you going to do instead? I was like, no, I'll be fine.
Sometimes those, like a lot of those people, especially in school, like a lot of it comes from like, maybe they would have liked to have done something like that. And either weren't good enough to be Savage, or didn't follow that dream. And then when they see a kid like doing it as well, there's that little impetus to be like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's like a little victory for them.
Yeah.
You should have listened
to me. Yeah, you're like, oh, shut up.
I was like, with love and respect, you don't know anything about it, darling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So how was Mountview?
I mean, it feels like a million years ago now. Mm. Like when I started 2012, so 12 years ago. I remember like fragments of it. I feel like all of, as we do in life, like as we go through life, we're like, oh, I remember a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I had a really fun time. Like I met a lot of like great people. I still got a lot of friends from there now. I mean, there was definitely highlights for me. Like we did Chorus Line in second year, and we had someone called Lucinda Lawrence, who I actually saw a couple of weeks ago. She's so brilliant. And for me, it was the external teachers that came in, like Tamsin Carroll, who I ended up working with, who was just an absolute joy. Like these brilliant people coming in with just great energy, who actually are just like, just really chill and just like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of preaching at you. Being like, oh, you're rubbish, and this is rubbish, and you need to be better, and this is still rubbish. Because I remember, like, I had no confidence in singing. I lost all. I went to Mountview loving singing, and then from having so much training and being told so much information, I think for me as a person, I found that overwhelming. And I can take things quite literally. So then I was like, oh God, I'm doing it all wrong. That's wrong. And then I literally couldn't sing a word without being like, oh, it's wrong. And I remember we did a project in second year. And I sang, I have often walked down this street before. And the musical director that came in, lovely guy, but like he'd be like, incorrect placement. I'd be like, oh, I couldn't sing a word without him telling me it was wrong. And then I remember when we got to the performance, I was like, I was so terrified. Yeah. So I was like, I'm doing it wrong. I don't know how to do it right, but I'm doing it wrong.
That is exactly what happened to me. I went into drama school going, okay, I'm okay with my singing and my dance is okay. And it's the acting that I want to work on. And I, you know, I'd done operas and stuff. That was like, that's where I was coming from and had that experience. And I left going, I never want to sing in front of people again. And I honestly, the idea of standing up in front of people and singing was mortifying to me. And I'm so lucky I got my first job, because during that process, the musical director was like, what you're doing is great. Like, what's going on? It sounds like he actually like took me to one side in the audition, was like, it sounds like you like don't like the sound of your own voice or something. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't sound right. Like I've just been taught that it doesn't sound right. Mm. And they were like, well, your opinion with love and respect doesn't matter. He was like, if we like it, you'll get the job.
Yeah.
So do it anyway. You've got this far.
Yeah.
And just trust that other people might like to pay to hear you sing, even if you don't like it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like a mind blowing moment to me for going, oh, I don't need to like it.
Yeah.
And screw out everyone else. Someone else might.
Yeah.
And I got that job and I was like, oh, and I will forever be grateful to him, because it's taken a really long time to be able to stand in front of people and sing again. But I'm like, that was the outcome of drama school.
Yeah.
But instead, of course, I improved in other things and gained loads from it, like you said, but it's so weird that you can come out going, in a worse place than when you started in one aspect.
I was terrified. I became terrified of singing. Mm. And I was still trying to like push myself and sing things that scared me and do all that kind of stuff. But when you're still so defeated, I remember finishing and going into auditions, the amount of auditions I saboed myself just from being stood outside, hearing the person before and going, oh my God, they're amazing. I'm doing it all wrong. And I still have that now, actually. I did a gig on Friday. I said this to you before.
Yeah.
And there was some American singers and they were so brilliant. I was sat watching them sing and I was like, turned to my friend, I was like, I'm a fake singer. I'm a fake. And I genuinely was like quickly spiraling. And I was like, no, I need to. And then I was like breathing. So I was like, I need to remind myself that what I'm going to do is going to be good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what I'm bringing is different to what you do. And they were so amazing. But I allowed myself to spiral and go, oh, they think I'm rubbish because they do this and they do that. And I don't do that. And I don't sound like that. And that, and all of those things are like from that experience. And there was obviously people along the way that were like, oh, this is brilliant. It's really cool. You can do this and you can sing like this. But then I also just remember feeling so confused and conflicted by what everyone was saying.
Yeah.
And when you're at drama school, everyone's kind of trying to like hustle and do their own thing. And everyone goes, oh, this person's the amazing singer. And you're like, they are, I'm rubbish. And then you, yeah. And then you go, well, I don't actually know what I'm good at anymore then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, and I feel like I've always been quite a realist in that I always watch YouTube videos and I always try and go and watch a lot of things so that I'm constantly like, can see everything. And when I teach, like I teach at some schools, I say, guys, we play a game called Cleverest Person in the Universe, where it's like, I'll be like, name me musicals written by Stephen Sondheim. And then we'll go around the circle and everyone like crosses in and out. And sometimes people can name two. And I'm like, guys, go and do the work. Like you can't be a plumber without, like without knowing how to use your tools, like do the research and know who people are and watch and learn from people, I think. Because then I watch things and I watch people and I go, oh my God, they're so good at that. I need to watch more of that so I can kind of learn to replicate that in my version and nick all these little bits of information.
Yeah.
And I feel like that I've kind of done a lot of learning like that rather than like that learning, because I feel like, because then I go, oh my God, I'm doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
Especially with like legit singing and thin fall, thick fall, tilt, sob, cry, belt. I don't know what's good and what's not.
Yeah.
And then I go, that's what I like doing. That's what brings me joy. And that's my sound that I like. So that's what you present. And then if someone doesn't like it, you go, okay, cool.
Yeah. And I'm happy with it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You're never going to please everyone.
This is something that came up the last time I was speaking to students actually, which was, you know, If you're going into Les Mis and you're singing for the audition and you've got to the point where you're singing the material and you're singing I Dreamed a Dream, do you think you're going to sing it to the best that they've ever heard it? No, because they've heard the very best people in the entire world sing this thing. Like even in the most incredible version of this, you're going to match it, right? Because they've employed the best people to sing this song. So why should they employ you? Like, what is it that we bring? And this is what like brings me back from that place that you were mentioning when you hear someone who's incredible, usually before you in an audition.
Always before you.
And you go, oh my God, like, oh, I can't sing it like that. Or I can't produce that. But obviously you can't see them. Super helpful for this. I'm like, the thing that makes you get the job is obviously you need to be able to do that, but it's what you bring to that thing that makes it worth watching.
Yeah.
Like, the character that you portray and put underneath all of that stuff. Like,
yeah.
The actual sound is like the icing on the cake.
Agree.
Right? Like, sure, I can find Michael Bublé is going to sing that song probably nicer than me or whoever, definitely nicer than me, whoever it might be. But hey, they can't do it exactly the same way I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully that's a positive.
But it's an energy thing as well, I think. I think when you walk into a room for auditions and things, having like just like a ha, I feel like I've tried to kind of learn that. And that's one thing before I go into auditions, I'm like, just chill. If I've done the work and I know what I'm going in to do, I just need to chill.
Just need to chill.
Out of my hands. Because otherwise I spiral and I go, oh, I could have sung that better. And that was rubbish. And that was not funny. They didn't laugh. They think I'm ugly. Like,
Whatever it might be.
You create this illusion. You come out and then you're like, oh, well, that was, actually you just go, oh, it's done.
It's finished now.
It's not for me to worry about.
I went in, I did my thing. Nice time.
And you're done.
And I'm 100% thrown him.
So,
and everyone knows it.
When you eventually landed Jamie, as you were the alternate, right?
Yeah.
In town. What was that moment like? Because when that show opened, I was like, I know who'd be good for this.
So that was a whole moment, because I'd finished drama school 2015. That happened in 2017. And I'd done a couple of bits and pieces. I did a 12 tennis tour when I first came out of college. Iconic.
Me too.
what did you sing in it?
I did a different show to...
Did you do the Midas one? Midas?
No.
Spirit?
No.
Oh.
We'll chat.
Okay.
Interesting. It was the Spirit show.
Right.
Just stolen.
... Okay, cool.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. So then I had a couple of years out and my dad had a really serious cycling accident. He was knocked off his bike and was in intensive care, high dependency. It was kind of touch and go for a while if he would make a recovery. Thankfully, he did. Very slow, different person now after his injuries and things, but we're very lucky he's here. So I kind of had a bit of time out to kind of go home, look after him and be with my family. And then I kind of came back, was auditioning for bits and pieces. I remember going to like a Thoroughly Modern Millie ensemble dance call and I could hold my own, but I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is not my jam. Like I was with some amazing like Lane grads, Erdan grads who were like, and I was like, and I remember there was about 40 people in the corner. I think they kept like 30 and I got cut and I was like, oh, that's embarrassing. And I left that agent, moved to another agent. So I'd had already, and within that 2 years, I'd already had two agents. And then I'd gone for an interview to be an agent's assistant at Jonathan Aaron. And I met with Amy and Jonathan at the time, who were both like the head agents there. And I think I had maybe two or three interviews and I was like, I'm quitting. It's just too much. I can't do it. And they're like, okay. So I'd had two or three interviews. And then I got an email, I think it was on the Thursday, so specific, saying, unfortunately, we've gone in another direction. It was between you and someone else. It was a hairpin difference, but we really liked you and we wish you all the best. And I was like, damn it. So I was like, okay. And then the following week, my friend Melissa had seen Jamie in Sheffield and she said, I saw the show in Sheffield. It's definitely going to transfer to town. It's amazing. And they're going to need an understudy, Jamie. So it's you. And I was like, oh, okay. So I listened to the concept album and I thought, bit of me, that's my jam. So I had a little bit of a listen to the album, emailed the casting director at the time and said, look, I really want to be seen for this. Didn't hear back. And then I was like, right, last push. This is my final audition and I'm done. If I don't get this, it's done. And I was like, I'm going to meet with an agent that I met with in third year, Jamie Sampson, who is head of 33 now. He's amazing. I love him. I met with him. He was with Soundcheck when I was in third year and he was really keen, lovely, and probably in hindsight now, love the agents that I sign with and they're brilliant. I don't want to shade them, but like, I think he was maybe the one that I was most drawn to. But as a graduate, I was like, oh my God, but this one's off me and they've got a great big name. So I'm going to sign with that one. So I then ended up signing with Jamie and I said, look, I really want to be in for this Jamie show that's coming. And I met with him in a little like outdoor coffee shop by Charing Cross, like lovely pink flowers. And he said, leave it with me and I'll get you an audition. I was like, okay. And I hadn't signed with him at this point. I dropped my other agent. I was about to sign with him. So he said, leave it with me. I think that was on Friday, like midday. He messaged me at 3 o'clock and was like, I've got you an audition. You're in on Tuesday. So I was like, okay, cool. So I looked over the material at the weekend, went in. I think both my auditions were at the Garrick Theatre in the bar. Went in on the Tuesday. I was in for about 40 minutes, did the material, sung Wall in My Head, sung Don't Even Know It, forgot all the words, strutted around the room, was just like, and we had a laugh and I left. And then as I left, he called me and he said, you've been penciled. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, you've been penciled for the job. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, that's wild. I said, yeah. I was literally about to go, done here.
Yeah.
And he said, you've got to go and do another recall. I'll send you the material and whatever. I think it actually was the same material, but it was like a week or two later. And I was like, okay, right, I really need to put the work into this. And I could get this. This could be a reality. So I went in about a week or two later. Do you know Sarah Lee, company, a stage manager? She's bloody lovely. And just having someone like that outside of the room, she was so... I don't know. I do some audition running and things sometimes and I try and like hype people up before they go and I'm like, you've got this, you're going to be amazing. Back yourself. It's going to be... Because she did that for me and I remember just going in being like so ready for it and she was lovely. And I went in, did all the material, came out and as I left, I think I was the last one of the day as well. She ran after me. She's like, can you come back in the room? And I went back in the room and they were like, we want to offer you the job in the room. And I was like, ah, say? And they offered me the job in the room. And I was like, oh my God. And as we left, they said, we've done that once before. And it was Cynthia Erivo for Sister Act.
Wow.
And they were like, congratulations. And I was just like, oh my God, I've got this job. But at the time, the show was like new. Not many people knew it. And there was like, I had a few months before I started. And I was like, oh my God, this is really cool. And that, it, wow, it was just like, awesome. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
And then Yeah, I started as the cover. So I was first cover, and there was me and John, no second cover. And then I became the alternate throughout the contract, but I was a swing as well. So
then suddenly you're in this massive sort of behemoth of a show. Mm-hmm. How did you find the both physical and like vocal demands of that process and the mental aspect as well, your swing, cover, then alternate? Like, how did you stay sane during that time period / healthy?
I don't know.
Did you?
It's a whole thing, isn't it? Because when you're at a show, when it's just starting, like you guys both know, like you've got to learn all the stuff just in case that person goes off. And I would watch John and be like, oh my God, I can't, oh wow, he's amazing. And again, that imposter syndrome of going, oh my God, if he goes off, I have to be the person to do that. And I would just watch, and the show was so brilliant. I used to sit in the box and watch it and just be like, and I remember the first read through with like Josie Walker and like John and being like, this is a really special moment and show. I don't know. It's so funny because I remember I was mainly overwhelmed by the dance. And I remember just being like, because the other three swings were like brilliant, brilliant dancers. Yeah. They'd all gone to Erdang. Choreo was like in. And I remember being like, oh my God, my first track I'm going on for is an ensemble track. So I need to have all the choreo down. I need to know that this is all on that side. And that was my main worry. I didn't really, the Jamie stuff, once I knew it, the singing and the acting was fine. It was the dance stuff that stressed me out more.
Because
the dance stuff, I feel like the acting and the singing stuff, if it went wrong, I could get around it. But the dance stuff, if I messed up the moves, I'm not someone that can just be like, oh, it's cool, because I'll just jam it out until pop it like I'm working. Until I come back in. I'm not that person. So that stressed me out more. I was surrounded by like a lot of great people, great friends. I was constantly learning. And I feel like that's important to own that you're learning. You know what I mean? I was still like 24, 25 at the time, which to me, now looking back, I'm like, baby.
Yeah.
Like,
I actually think that that's something that most pros have forgotten, like no matter your age, right? Like you should be rocking up to that rehearsal room going, let me learn. Like it doesn't matter if you're 55, 70.
Completely. Going,
what can I learn from these people?
Oh my God.
And like that mindset shifting into an audition room is what's going to.
And I ask questions. I think it's so important to ask questions. And like, there were so many people I looked up to, and I always say to people, I'm like, do you get nervous? No one has ever said to me, no. No one has ever said no. And everyone deals with it in a different way. But like, it's just different people's processes are so different. Some people are in the wings and they're like running their lines. Some people are like, for me, I don't like to be in the wings too long before the show starts. Like if they say, act one beginners and I'm on first, I go, okay, cool. Got my, whatever I've got. And then I go, right, let's go. And then I walk to the stage and I want to go straight on. I don't want to hang in the wings. If I hang in the wings, then I'm like, what's that first line?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's the worst.
And then the stage manager's like, I don't know the first line. I don't know how to help you.
I know the first line.
Oh God.
Find the script.
Is there anything about health and wellness or fitness or the industry that you would like to see get in the bin?
Get in the bin. Oof.
Options.
I just think generally just be genuinely nicer. Like, I feel like sometimes people go, oh, I'm so kind. I'm like, you're not.
You're not kind.
Can you actually go to bed at night and go, I'm really kind?
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. But I feel like it's just about like holding ourselves accountable. Like, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it can be like, and then you go, mate, I'm so sorry. I think I've actually got a friend, one of my best friends, Chloe. She's really good at being like, mate, I'm so sorry. I'm just having a moment. I'll come back to you in 10. And then you go, okay, fine. And then she comes back, she goes, sorry, mate. And I really respect that, because then you're not then going, something to upset them,
because
a lot of the time it's not actually you. I just think maybe that.
And then what advice would you give to somebody who was like entering the industry now?
Good luck.
Yeah, good. Well, that's that done.
Yeah. Good luck, darling.
Good luck. And don't go on X Factor.
What advice would I give? Ask questions, collaborate, like be a nice person. I genuinely think being a nice person, I do not think I'm the most talented person by any means, but I think from like chatting to people and like just being about, you go, oh, I like doing this, and like not being afraid to say what it is you like doing and what you want to do. Because I feel like sometimes, especially as British people, we go, oh, I'd like to do that, but own it. Go, oh, I'd love to do this a little bit more. I've never done it before. I'm really interested in doing it and like actually owning that and not being scared to say you've not done something before. Yeah.
That's how you get help and get better. And actually
this.
What's amazing about that. And I love that advice because when you ask people for help, the weirdest thing happens. They help you.
Yeah.
Like it's a no brainer. When you think about it, you're like, what do I actually need to get where I need to be? I need to ask people.
Yeah.
And those people will then go, oh, actually, and they can fill in blanks for you that you don't know are blanks.
Yeah.
Right? You don't
100%.
Know. Then you go, oh yeah, that would help.
Right.
Mm.
And sometimes they go, oh, I'm doing this thing next week. Come to that.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's really going to help me. Like,
right.
Whatever
Amen.
It might be.
Amen.
Winner.
But like the hustle never ends. That's my thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had people say to me before, they've gone, oh, you're so lucky. You just get given things. And I go, oh, wow, I wish.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that is given anything, period. Yeah. Like any of my friends in this industry and that do musicals and stuff, I know they would all say the same. Everyone is hustling and doing the work. Like you are constantly doing the work. No one is given anything.
Yeah.
It's a journey. Like we've all had our moments throughout our life of going, I've done this opportunity. I did X Factor. I did this. I did that. I did this. And they're all moments that bring us to this point.
Yeah.
So I don't like the concept of going, oh, they just get given everything or it's always the same people. I'm like, those people have worked for this moment. Instead of complaining about other people having their moment, do the work yourself to have your moment.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
I love that.
Look at like Rob Madge. They're amazing. And they've created this whole thing for themselves and they are one of the kindest people I know. And I just go, all these good things are happening to these people because they are good people. They do the work. They are kind. They they like lift other people up. And I'm like, it all comes around in circles.
Love that.
Love that. Big fan.
So without changing your facial expression, Luke, it's time for us to guess whether you have lied and if you have what we think it is. Listeners, cast your minds back. I've got one.
Go.
I think it's to do with Bugsy Malone.
Yep.
And it's that maybe he did play the part that he auditioned for three times or that he didn't audition for the part three times. What do you think?
Interesting. I think he has lied. But
you don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
We both think I'm a liar, do we?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm making a judgment call on you.
I think you're a liar as well.
Well, maybe I am.
You're a lying little orange, darling.
You're a liar.
a fit lying orange.
Don't piss me off.
I'll go with yours. Let's go with that. Let's roll
I'm not
with
confident,
that.
But let's roll with it. Luke, have you managed to successfully lie?
No.
No!
I haven't. And do you know what? It's because I was thinking too hard about it, but we've been chatting so like back and forth that I didn't have... At one point, I was thinking about saying, when you were saying about living in the north, I was going to say, oh, we actually had to move house because... the house burned down.
Oh God, yeah.
That was going to be my lie. But then,
that would have been a good lie. Yeah.
Horrendousness.
But I actually didn't get around to it. I do think I crashed a car at one point, but I can't remember if that's a lie. I don't know if that's a lie. I actually don't know if it's a lie.
You're lying to yourself. You're
choosing traumatic lies.
I'll check with her.
Right.
Oh, it's time for another game.
I love a game.
This or that. So it's going to be a 1 minute lightning round.
Okay, let's go.
Friends. Two options, you've got to pick one. Right. Nah, are we ready? 1 minute on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go.
Eggs or bacon?
Eggs.
White bread or brown bread?
White.
The US office or friends?
Oh, neither.
Cardio or resistance training?
Cardio.
McDonald's or Burger King?
McDonald's.
Singing or acting?
Oh, singing.
TikTok or Instagram?
TikTok.
Yoga or Pilates?
Pilates.
Family Guy or Love Island?
Family Guy.
Domino's Pizza or Papa John's?
Domino's.
Sport or dance?
Sport.
Alcohol or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Matching socks or mismatching socks?
Pardon?
Matching socks or mismatching socks?
Matching.
Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
Coca-Cola.
Loco Chanel or Sandra Bullock?
Loco Chanel.
Game of Thrones or Glee?
Game of Thrones.
Books or Kindle?
Books.
Clean shaven or beard?
Beard.
Personal chef or personal stylist?
Personal stylist.
Opening night or press night?
Opening night.
Sexy or smart?
Sexy.
Shower or bath?
Bath.
Diamonds or pebbles?
Diamonds.
Dogs or babies?
Dogs.
Snakes or badgers?
Snakes.
Theme park or water park?
Water park.
Running or walking?
Running!
Director or choreographer?
Director.
Bobby or Stefan?
Both!
1 minute on the dot.
And that was with...
On the dot. That was with you going...
With a solid... Costing you 2 seconds.
The change in pitch of it going... It's making me nervous.
Yeah, it's getting intense. Some lovely, lovely answers in there. You chose diamonds instead of pebbles, which...
Was that based on the Ebba comment?
It was. Yeah.
Back so, yourself. That YouTuber might say that I'm a pebble, but I'm a diamond, darling.
Yeah. Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, man.
What a laugh.
Yeah, and thank you at home or wherever you might be for listening and watching.
Yeah, and if you've enjoyed this episode, click those like and subscribe buttons. Find us on Instagram at Fit2PerformWestEnd. As always, if you've got any questions you want answered, slip slide into those DMs. I'll be in there with some pebbles.
Thanks again for listening. And if you like what you've heard, we've been Fit to Talk with our wonderful guest, Luke Bayer, and your hosts, me, Stefan.
And me, Bobby. And if you didn't like it, we've been Joe Wicks. Peace out.